When it comes to flying your drone, trial and error is not a strategy. It's insanity. Insanity. So get your drone questions answered by the experts so you can save time and money by lowering your learning curve. And now your hosts, Rob Burdick and Paul Aitken.
Hey everyone, and welcome to another awesome episode of Ask Drone U. My name is Paul.
And I'm Rob, and you're listening to episode number 230. And as always, we thank you for spending a few minutes of your day with us.
We do thank you. Rob, I thank you too.
I thank you, Paul.
Oh, well, I thank our sponsors.
It's a pleasure.
It's a pleasure sitting here with you. It's a pleasure answering your questions and progressing this industry. That's why we do this, to educate, inform, and grow. Will you do it with us?
Anyway. It's all about the long-term benefit of this business.
Well, I mean, if we want to have those freedoms to fly, Rob, we got to stand up for what we love.
Well, yeah, we got to do it the right way, and we got to help other people do it the right way.
Totally true. Totally true. So what is our question for today? I know we've been getting a lot of questions in Ask Drone U lately, and I want to remind everyone, we've got a lot of cool stuff coming up. Be sure to check out the upcoming Don't Crash course. If you hear someone buying a drone, tell them to get the Don't Crash course. That way, they won't crash and ruin our industry. And that way, we'll all have a lot more fun together. Also, yeah. We've got a lot of other things coming up. If you got a legal question, be sure to go to askdroneu.com, upload your legal question, and say, this is for the Ask John segment. We have been loving those questions. Yep. Just sent a bunch more to John to be answered, and greatly appreciate his participation in yours as well. As always, we thank our sponsors, Go Professional Cases, Multicopter Warehouse, and Drone U, where you can find the premier online community for UAV education.
Absolutely. And guys, we have a good question for you today. We've got a bit more of a technical question. We haven't had too many of these, but we're going to get into this one about ESCs and kind of the way DJI is doing things now.
Which is interesting because they have definitely changed the way that they're doing things.
Yeah.
I think it's more of that corporate model, but we'll see. Maybe, too, they've changed things to protect their proprietary information.
Absolutely. And you think of a lot of big corporations out there and how they're smart. I mean, they know what they're doing and they've thought these things through. They've done their research.
Well, you know, I was just listening to a podcast the other day on Planet Money. Mm-hmm. And I actually sent you this podcast, and it was talking about relevancy and how Chinese manufacturers are increasingly trying to figure out the next thing and why China is really growing technology at an exponential level is because of the lack of pretty much IP, international or intellectual property.
Meaning protection against.
Correct.
Yeah.
Yes. In the United States, you make something, you file a patent, you know, and someone else builds the exact same thing, they can get sued for that. Well, in China, they don't have that. So in China, you've got manufacturers who specialize in very specific aspects, whether it's batteries, whether it's just motors, or maybe the bearings for the motors. You've got people who are so highly specialized in building those things. They say, well, you know what? This is an old style of manufacturing. I can do it better. I'm going to make better ESCs and better motors for a cheaper price.
Right.
So this whole evolution of the lack of intellectual property is really driving companies to figure out how can I make my product non-reverse engineerable.
And that's going to be really difficult to do. You're going to have to find other ways to protect that intellectual property. But it's interesting because technology companies on the cutting edge, even as of literally this morning, are working with Chinese companies to produce those products.
It's totally true.
So I don't see it changing.
Well, you know, and I was wondering about the TPP, if it would change international property rights, because that was something that was in there. But from what I've read, no, but I didn't read the whole thing, so I don't know.
I certainly haven't read it either. So we're waiting for you to do that, Paul.
Well, let me get through those 900 pages sometime soon, and I'll let you know.
Okay. Well, you're going to be traveling a lot over the Christmas holidays.
Actually, so? I have so many goals for the Christmas holidays. It's like not even funny. I feel like I need to have a Christmas with a family. And then I think all of our droney tinkers out there can agree that we wish we could just have two or three unobstructed days to just do our thing, whether that's reading things online or building drones. I'm not gonna lie, I've got two X8 frames right now, a bunch of motors, I got two separate flight controllers, and they're just sitting there, and I'm like, why haven't I built a monster drone?
And not a single machine that can get in the air with all that equipment.
That's true.
Yet.
Yeah. Well, I still need to send it to Walt. I've been so bad about sending that to Walt.
Well, we'll get it done.
We will.
It'll get done. There's a lot to do.
Let's get to today's question. Everyone's like, what are they talking about? What are they talking about? So let's do it.
Dearest Drone You, it is Bruce from Utah. My question is, I opened up my P3 the other day, and I noticed that instead of individual ESCs, they've got an ESC board for the small sum of $399. You too can own one. The question is, why did they do that? And does it give you any kind of an advantage? And if one of the ESCs goes out, do you lose the whole board? How does that work? And what benefit do we get as consumers for them switching from those individual cheaper boards to this one massive center expensive $400 part?
So thank you for the question, Bruce. And one assumption there that might be a little misguided, and that is there is intended to be benefit to the consumer.
Right. Hey guys, we're changing our flight controllers to make it easier for you to replace every single part and piece. That way, when you crash your drone, you'll only be able to replace the fingernail.
That would be nice. I don't know what the fingernail is.
Well, I kind of said fingernail because it has nothing to do with the drone, and just like this has really nothing to do with... I don't think they care about how you feel. I'm just going
I will say, I think they, at least I hope they care about creating a quality product that,
that definitely works, care about that.
But in terms of if something goes wrong, because things will go wrong, we're looking at the board here. It's pretty clear that you're going to have to replace the whole thing if one of them goes out.
Yeah, so if one ESC goes out, you're definitely replacing the whole board. But understand that this board also holds the flight controller, all the propulsion modules, everything that you'll need other than the motors themselves to fly. So,
in the reality, we were talking a little bit about this before podcasting, Paul, is that you don't believe there's a very high chance of one of the ESCs going out.
No, I don't think that there is a high chance of the ESCs going out. But if someone, you know, tries to make pigs fly and lift a pig with their Phantom 3, they're going to burn out an ESC just because the motor can't handle the torque. So,
true.
And, you know, if you fly normally, if you do your calibrations, you don't fly in extreme temperatures, you shouldn't have an ESC go out. I mean, DJI is really good about quality control. And I think that... you should not have a problem. But if you do break an ESC for whatever reason, if you do crash for whatever reason, you will have to replace this whole board, which will be like replacing, you know, the old Phantom 2 had the NASA V2 system in it. So this is just like, you know, the NASA V2 system, but on one board.
Right. And so we talked a little bit about that as well. So speak to that. So somebody could use the NASA system?
I don't think someone could use a NASA V2 system in a Phantom 3. I mean, if you really wanted to engineer it to make it happen, I'm sure you could.
There's just really no reason to do that. It's probably going to end up costing you a lot more than $400 anyways.
Well, someone's got to have a lot of time on their hands and a lot of coffee, Rob.
Right.
So I don't know if it's worth it, really.
It sounds pretty clear that it's not worth it.
But, you know, maybe DJI's idea here was to incentivize people actually turning their broken drones into DJI for repair instead of trying to repair it themselves. Maybe they were, like we were saying earlier in the podcast, you know, maybe they're trying to make it more difficult for people to reverse engineer their products. I know there are more drones. John McBride, good friend from Utah, Rocky Mountain Unmanned Systems. Bruce, if you don't know John McBride, get to know him. He's in your area. Very cool dude. He rebuilds and services drones all the time. And he works with FLIR. I mean, he works with huge major companies. And frankly, you know, from what I've seen from John McBride, there are companies that are taking the old Phantoms and utilizing those pieces and products to make new consumer drones for a cheaper price. So we know that companies are trying to rip off DJI. I mean, you're seeing it with RC Timer. You're seeing it with this. There was this new black quadcopter. I think it was like Zendo or Exto or something. I forget the name of it. But John hit me up on Facebook, and he's like, dude, have you seen this new drone? I was like, no, I actually haven't. He goes, have you never flown it or never seen it? And I was like, no, never seen it, never flown it. And he goes, I just took the whole thing apart. Yeah. It's a Phantom 2 Vision Plus.
Really?
Underneath the skin.
Well, yeah. I mean, think about it. For somebody who's got the right inclination and the right skill, it doesn't seem, I might sound a little naive here, but it doesn't seem that difficult to tear it down and rebuild it.
No, I think majority of our students could tear down a Phantom 2 and rebuild it. I don't think it's really that difficult.
And so to re-engineer that or reverse engineer it, plenty of people can do that.
True. Although the coding that is needed is probably really important. And it makes me wonder, you know, how do these work as far as firmware goes? Because is DJI actually giving out these old parts, selling them, and then giving a permanent firmware? Like, is there support, you know? Lots of questions here. Lots of questions.
Right, yeah. I mean, like any product, you really need to know the company behind it to know whether it's worth buying, even if it's cheaper.
True, but if you
especially if it's cheaper.
If you saw that article that Frank Wang wrote in Forbes, you'd have many questions about DJI.
Well,
he talks about ruining the deal with GoPro. He talks about fighting off other drone companies. Mm. I mean, like, he didn't seem like a very nice guy in the article.
Yeah, well, that's true. It's a dog-eat-dog world.
It is. And, I mean, let's face it, some of the most successful people in the world are able to eliminate family, eliminate emotions, and just work, 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 work. And something Steve Jobs openly said that he did, and he totally regrets it.
Yeah.
So...
yeah, that's certainly not something that we want for our lifestyle and our legacy,
no.
Basically.
No, I think our legacy is to... progress this industry, enjoy doing what we do, be able to do it from just about anywhere, even though we have a nice studio now in Albuquerque, New Mexico.
Yeah, but we'd like to expand that reach a little bit.
If you could work from any country right now, where would you go, Rob?
Oh, man, I don't have enough knowledge to figure that out. I haven't been to enough places to figure that out. Let's say Belgium.
Really?
I'm just throwing something out there. Get your response. Apparently, you don't like Belgium.
I would never go to Belgium. Only because the only reason is I had friends that, you know, when I lived in Europe, we would all pick a place where we were going to go and try and kind of travel in groups, you know?
Sure.
And my friends, Matt, Chris, Ben, I call Cao Yi, and Tina were all the people that I went with. We went to Malta and lived in Malta for a month. And some people went to Belgium. And I heard that the party scene doesn't really get started until like 1 a.m.
In Belgium?
Yeah, that's just too late for me.
So that's what it's about. It's about the party scene. That would not be a big issue for me. And let me clarify. Frankly, I love being in the United States, right? This is my number one choice.
All right.
So beyond that, I don't know.
I'll say this. Ever since I moved out west, I've really enjoyed... the United States tenfold compared to what I did on the
East
Coast.
It is a different lifestyle out here for sure.
I love it. Love it, love it, love it. And we hope you love your drone lifestyle. Speaking of lifestyle, Rob, we were on a call today. We may be expanding Drone U and what we offer. And I don't want to get people too excited because we don't know the final outcome or conclusion. But very soon, if you're a Drone U member, you could be getting a lot of access to more drone jobs. And right now that directory is pretty large, right, Rob?
It is. We'll see what happens with that.
Yeah, we don't know. No promises.
Nope.
Could it happen?
Absolutely, it could happen.
It could also not happen.
No, it's fun to have things in the frying pan, so to speak, and see if they cook up or get burnt. I don't know. That's a really bad analogy, huh?
Definitely.
Thanks.
I think I said definitely a little too quick there.
Yeah. A little too adamantly.
On that bombshell, I think that's going to do it for us today, guys. So thank you so much for listening in. Don't forget, check out GPC Cases. Use offer code DRONEU15 to save on your case and show support for the show. Tell your friends about the show. And if you got anyone who's buying a new drone, make sure they check out the Don't Crash course. That's going to do it for me today. My name is Paul.
And I'm Rob.
And this is Ask Drone U.
Thanks for listening to the Ask Drone U podcast. Be sure to tune in next time to your personal experts for answering your drone questions, Rob Burdick and Paul Aiken, so you can keep lowering your learning curve and save time and money. Time and money.